On today's episode of The Productivity Show, I'm talking to Ryan Wiggins all about how to stay productive at home.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, the show that gets you where you want to be fast. Smash your goals and achieve more with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and become a Jedi Master of Productivity. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, it's Paul here, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Productivity Show. On this episode, I'm talking to my new friend, Ryan Wiggins. Now, Ryan is a writer, among other things. He has a couple of gigs going on. He's starting a consulting business for nonprofits. He currently works from home and he's homeschooling his daughter, and he's got lots of these kind of balls up in the air and he's balancing lots of things. And as he's working from home the whole time, I wanted to tap into his productivity tips for working at home. And make sure after the interview you head on over to paulminers.com/7 where you can see all of today's show notes and get access to the links of stuff that we mentioned. And so without any further ado, let's get straight into the interview today with Ryan Wiggins. All right, everyone. Hey, welcome to today's episode of The Productivity Show. I'm Paul, and it is my pleasure today to introduce my new friend, Ryan Mr. Wiggins. Ryan, welcome to the show, and how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks, Paul, and thanks for having me.
No worries, no, thanks for joining me. Ryan and I met actually on Twitter not long ago, and we got to talking, and we found that we had really similar interests in that we're both sort of interested in business and productivity as well, which is obviously the number one topic that we talk about. And yeah, we just kind of got to talking, and I thought, hey, Ryan is the perfect kind of person to get onto the show. And Ryan lives or has a very sort of interesting situation, work-life situation, and he's going to get into all of that. And we're going to sort of talk today about Ryan's tips for working at home, because Ryan's sort of on the move a little bit. And so, yeah, it's going to be great to sort of get some of those tips and tricks from you, Ryan. So, well, why don't we start off with a bit about you? And if you could sort of give us the background and your story and sort of fill everyone in who perhaps hasn't heard about, who haven't heard about you, just give us the story on who is Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. So I guess a bit of context. So right now my home is in Australia. So I'm Australian. My wife is lucky enough to have a job that takes her overseas for a few years at a time. And so right now I'm actually living on a beautiful island called Nauru, which is in the Pacific. And we've been here about 6 months now. So sort of at the end of 2014, when we got word that we were going to be sent over this way, I quit my job, and my family and I, we have a little girl, and we packed up all of our bags and headed up here and to this tiny little island paradise in the middle of the Pacific, and sort of that's where you'll find me these days if you can get here. So I do a few things while I'm here. First and foremost, I'm homeschooling my little girl. She's four, which is a little bit before school age, but try and get a head start on that kind of stuff, and I have to keep her occupied otherwise. I'm building a business back in Australia, and I do that sort of remotely, obviously, with my business partner, and I'm just about to embark on some studies, doing a master's of business administration, and I run a little blog. I've relatively new to the whole thing, but I've started writing some articles and start a little blog that I'm having fun with as well. So in a nutshell, I guess that's kind of me at the moment.
Awesome. So you've got loads going on. You've got a personal blog, you're going to be studying, remote business, homeschooling. So immediately, like, you strike me as you must be a fairly productive person to be kind of juggling all these different things.
To be honest with you, I've never really considered myself a productive person, but I think that that's actually what's made me so interested in productivity. If I don't focus on being productive, I'm generally not. So, and I think that's probably a key with a lot of people who think that, who either don't put any thought into productivity or believe that they're not a very productive person. It's usually those like me need to have a focus on productivity and finding ways to be productive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Well, so what are some of the things? So I'm kind of hearing that you find you generally have to actively try to be productive. It's not something that comes naturally to you. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
I put a really strong focus on being productive, and we'll get into a few things, I'm sure, but you know, from scheduling my day to setting a bunch of alarms through the day as reminders, juggling a bunch of things, trying to compartmentalize different parts of my life so that I can focus on one thing at a time, that kind of thing. I have to put a really strong focus on that stuff, otherwise it's really difficult to get things done. But it works for me, and I do find that I get through quite a bit of work and do a lot of things. So I must be doing something right, I suppose.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, why don't we start with all these different things that you've got going on? How do you sort of, what kind of process do you use for allocating your time to these different things? Like, so your homeschooling with your daughter must take up a set number of hours, and that's probably a regular thing. You have a routine for that. How do you, what kind of process do you go through, or how do you allocate your time for these different things that you've got going on?
The first thing for me is a process of prioritization. So I have a post-it note up right in front of my my desk here at home in my office, which is, my office is also what my daughter and I call the schoolhouse. we share that space, but I have a post-it note right above my desk that lists those four things that I'm doing at the moment, plus a couple of other things. It lists those things in order of priority. So first thing that I have there is homeschool, and so that is the most important thing that I'm doing right now, and so that is my number one priority. The next thing I have there is building my business, which we can talk a little bit about later if you like. Studies, my master's has just sort of come into the fold, and that may take the number two spot pretty soon, depending on what the workload is like. But at the moment, that's number three. And then my blog and the articles that I write for a few publications online sort of comes in at fourth. And so I, using that, list, I suppose, as a guide, I allocate my time according to those priorities. So the first thing, the next part of the process is scheduling. So I'm really heavy with scheduling. I schedule every part of my day. From the moment in my calendar, I even have sleep as a block of time.
Oh wow!
If I schedule everything down to the minute, because I really need to know where, what I'm supposed to be doing, where I need to be. So the first thing that I schedule in then is homeschooling. It's the most important thing. So I make sure that to give that enough thought and time in my day, it's the first thing that goes in, and nothing else is allowed to touch that time. And so on and so forth. Then I go through, when am I going to work on building my business? When am I going to study? When am I going to write for my blog? And just sort of rolls on from there.
That's really cool. And it's the thing I kind of stuck in my mind as you were talking was this post-it note that you've listed very clearly the priorities that you have in your life. And I guess it's interesting, because I think so many of us have like a mental list where we're like, oh yeah, this is important, and oh, that's important as well. And because we don't actually tangibly write them down and actually rank one higher than the other, this process of prioritization is actually redundant, because we're not actually actively going, well, this one has to come before that one. Whereas you've got this post-it note, you've got this list where it's like, well, I know that homeschooling, it comes first. And so that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. And it comes, for me, that came from this, there's plenty of research that shows that, if you want to learn something, writing down whatever it is that you want to learn is a much more effective way of learning something than just listening to it or watching it or seeing it. When you write something down, there's something that happens there in your mind, processes that actually cements that sort of into your brain. So I took a bit of a lead from that idea, and thought if I do have priorities, if I want to make something sort of number one, then getting it down on paper's, you know, probably a good thing to do. And it's front of mind. I look at it all the time. If I'm ever straying or you know, feeling a little bit slack or whatever, it's a really good reminder there that you know, I've got some responsibilities and I've got to take care of them.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, you're dead right. Like, writing stuff down is super important. And I mean, that's why I'm such a big fan of putting pen to paper when it comes to writing down your goals. Well, not necessarily on paper. I use Evernote and Asana and other tools like that. But actually getting goals as well, in particular, down written somewhere, I think is so important. And then sharing them with people as well. That's why I always try and sort of share my story and tell people what I'm up to. Because I think if you can write something down but then share it, you hold yourself more accountable, because you don't want to let these people down who you've been kind of sharing your ideas with.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go into your business then. So obviously your homeschooling is your top priority. I think you said business came second.
That's right. Yeah. I've wanted to start my business for a little while, and for a number of years, and you know, along with a lot of my friends and my wife and some people that I've worked with, we're always coming up with these ideas. But you know, starting a business is kind of a scary and risky kind of a thing. And I'm lucky enough to be in a position where being able to sort of move overseas and have some space from, you know, the sort of 9-to-5 rat race kind of an environment, that risk is reduced a little bit for me. And luckily these days we have all these great online tools and this technology that allows us to work essentially from anywhere in the world. That's an added bonus as well. So yeah, something I've been wanting to do for a while, and with my business partner, I'm starting to do it. And so what we're building is, what we want to do is we want to build a consulting business that has a focus on not-for-profit organizations in Australia. And social businesses of any kind, I suppose, but not-for-profits probably in particular. And what we know is, you know, there's, you know, not-for-profits do a lot of really good work in the community, and at the same time are under a lot of pressure to try and maintain their funding and have to be very transparent and all that kind of stuff with very limited resources. So we're building, you know, I come from the social sector in Australia. I've been working in the welfare sector in Australia for a really long time. It's essentially my whole career. So I have really good knowledge of the sector, and as does my partner. And, you know, we think we can sort of bring a very business-oriented sort of perspective into the not-for-profit sector and help organizations achieve their goals.
That's really cool. I'm a big fan of social work. And do you have you worked with any clients already, or is this something you're still setting up? Sorry?
Still setting up. We're about to embark on a few really cool things, but at this point we're still setting up. And one of the main things I've been doing is, because I'm so far away, you know, my business partner works full time, based in Canberra in Australia, and I'm you know, a 5-hour flight away from Brisbane, which is, you know, it's thousands of kilometers. And you know, so what we're finding is that I've got all the time in the world, I guess, to work on building the business, but I don't have proximity. He's got all the proximity and no time, because he's working full time. So it's been a bit of a challenge for us. And so what I've been doing is working with building online platforms and testing out different apps and platforms, so that we can work in a way that you know, even though we're far apart, that we can, you know, feels like we're in the same room and we can communicate really easily with each other.
Well, let's. I'd love to dive into some of that. Like, what are some of the tools and apps that you're using? And you mentioned it before. Like, technology now lets us work from anywhere remotely, and we're so lucky. Yeah. So what are some of the tools and apps that you're using?
So, first of all, is Slack. Slack is a if you're into tech at all, you would have heard of Slack by now. It's a really great online sort of messaging tool, essentially removing the need for email within an organization and within teams. So it's a great way for you to communicate. You could be sitting in the same room and send a message right across the room, or you can use it, you know, we're using it you know, across an ocean. So Slack is a really cool tool, and it allows you to, you know, it's free up to a certain point, and it allows you to personalize it with your own messages and logos and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really cool thing, and that's going to be probably, at this point, we're looking at that being probably the backbone of what we're doing, because we can use, you know, the business model that we're using is based on this idea of bringing in sort of freelance contractors from the welfare sector who know the business better than anyone to come in and do short-term contracts with us. And with a platform like Slack, we can invite somebody in, you know, give them a lot through that platform, and then when you know the contract is up, you know, it's easy to you know, delete that account, and we can move on and have a number of people coming in and out at any time. And the other thing that Slack does really well is it syncs with other apps really easily. So we since taking your 7-day productivity course, the email course that you do, which is wonderful, by the way, I've given Asana a good go, and Slack actually syncs with Asana really well. So you can pop tasks into Slack that later pop up in your Asana account, and that makes it really easy. So Slack's probably going to be the backbone in terms of communication.
Well, that's really cool. I haven't used Slack yet, although I have heard only awesome stuff about it. I'm interested though, because I mean, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Asana, and obviously one of the great things about Asana is that you can communicate within teams in Asana inside the tasks and things. So obviously you've used both of these platforms. How does communication work with both of those? Because you have the comments in Asana for different in different tasks, and then you have the conversations that are going on inside Slack. How do they kind of work together? Where do you use Asana and where do you use Slack?
Well, Asana we're looking at using as more of a project management tool. So rather than using it to communicate, it's more about setting up certain, you know, the different stages inside a project and the different tasks that exist inside those stages, and then being able to having you know X number of people brought in on that particular project, having people check off those things as they move through the stages, and being able to monitor progress on that project by seeing, you know, those things being ticked off and notes being put in and things like that. So rather than using it as a communication tool, it's we're looking at making that purely sort of project management, if that makes sense.
Right, okay. So whereas Slack is for more, I'm guessing, for more kind of casual conversation then, which isn't necessarily tied to a particular task.
Exactly, yep, exactly. And in Slack you can create I forget what they call them inside Slack, but sort of different streams of conversations, and so you've got different, you know, you can set up sort of a, you know, project one, project two, project three, and have different conversations with different people inside those different streams, and have those streams linked to the project that you've set up in Asana, so that you can add tasks through that platform instantly. It's sort of like instant messaging, so. So that's what we're looking at the moment, but still early days, and testing that stuff on a real-life project is going to be the real test.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you'll have to definitely fill me in with how it goes. In fact, I was just thinking, I recall I think it was on Quora. I don't know if you're familiar with Quora or if anyone listening is familiar with Quora, but it's a website where people can post questions that they want to get answered. And I've noticed the founders of Asana are quite active on Quora. And in one of these questions, they mentioned that they use Slack. And I was quite surprised because, like, oh, yeah, Asana, well, obviously communication is a big part of Asana. But sounds like they're using it very similar to how you are, which is they use Slack for the more, kind of informal conversations among teams, in their teams, whereas Asana is for the specific questions related to tasks. And if you want a quicker response, it's also, it comes down to timing as well. So if you want a quick response, you might kind of throw something into Slack, whereas if you want to kind of keep the conversation related to the project or the task, then it kind of goes into Asana. So Yeah, I was really interested to hear that even internally at Asana they're using it as well. So yeah, like I said, I've heard only good stuff about Slack, and I'm itching to give it a go.
Yeah, it's well worth it. I've even seen instances where people are using Slack in different ways to what it was originally intended. Obviously, originally it was just supposed to be in a sort of a team communication tool. I've seen people like there's a blogger named Paul Jarvis who runs an online freelancing course. He's a freelance web designer or something like that, and he uses Slack as an online forum that sits alongside his online course. So he invites people into Slack and uses it like a messaging board and like a conversation board, and people can, you know, when they join up for his course, get an invitation to Slack, and they can come in and interact with the other people that are doing the course. So it's, you know, it's so flexible. It's great.
That is such a cool idea. And actually, because I'm working on a new sort of a productivity course and a suite of products at the moment, and I think that would be a great way of using Slack and getting people asking questions, helping one another out. I'm definitely going to look into that. Yeah. That sounds awesome. Yeah, thank you for the tip.
Yeah, no worries.
You've got Slack, you've got Asana. Any other notable tools that you want to mention?
Yeah, look, for online meetings, we sometimes Skype, but there's a really cool online app, web app called GoToMeeting. Have you heard of GoToMeeting?
Yeah.
It's GoToMeeting is actually a really big platform, but they've got a website called GoToMeeting Free or Free GoToMeeting. I can't remember. I can send you some links after we chat if you like. You can put them into sort of show notes or whatever, but GoToMeeting Free allows you to have up to three people in an online chat with video, with file sharing, with screen sharing, and it's really quick and really good quality video and audio, and it's completely free, and you don't need a login. So Skype is great, but if you're someone who's never used Skype before, or that you haven't used it in a while, you have to find your login, you have to log in and do all that kind of stuff. With GoToMeeting, as let's say if I want to put on a meeting, I would open up the meeting, send the link that is generated through starting the meeting. The people who are going to join me click on the link, it opens up on their screen and they're in. There's no sign up or anything like that, and it's up to three people. So that's a really, really good tool, especially if your organization or your company is in sort of startup mode. You know, you want to have as many of these sort of free apps, you know, good quality free apps as possible, and GoToMeeting is definitely one of them. So it's awesome. And again, it syncs really easily with Slack. So I can type something into Slack and it'll automatically open up a GoToMeeting in another window. So it syncs really well there as well.
That's awesome. And actually, that's something I find more and more with apps these days is the integration between apps is just so good now. And so you've got Asana, you can drop in things straight from your Dropbox or your Google Drive, and you've got Slack, which integrates with everything actually, because I watched their video and they integrate with dozens of services, and I think it's great because it just brings more power to the apps. And so that's why I switched to Sunrise Calendar, because you can connect your Asana account, your Evernote account. There's loads of accounts you connect to. You can connect to Sunrise, and you can kind of have everything in one place, all your tasks, all your events, and just the integration there was one of the things that really sold me. And it sounds like it's Slack is just one of these tools that just has great integration, which is awesome.
It is awesome, and there's a bunch of businesses that are starting to create integration where there isn't any yet. So you have If This Then That, and another online app called Zapier, I think, which you sign up and you can link two separate platforms together through them, and they will carry out, you know, you can automate a task between. So when I first started my blog, I had a sign-up form on the blog, but I've been using WordPress.com, which doesn't allow you to paste in any code, so I couldn't put my MailChimp sign-up form in there. So I was using another platform, which I, off the top of my head, I can't remember what it is now, but I was using another type of sign-up form, and through Zapier, I was able to link that through to a Google spreadsheet and have that Google spreadsheet linked to my MailChimp account. So there's a really roundabout way that I was able to still get sign-ups for my newsletter through these, you know, integrations that don't exist ordinarily. So, yeah, there's some amazing things going on.
That's funny. And I love little kind of hacks like that. And I actually had to do something very similar on my own website, because I initially had my 7-day productivity plan, and then I wanted, and I had my book summaries as well. And it was annoying, because if somebody signed up for the book summaries and then wanted to get the 7-day plan, if you went into the form, you'd get this error saying, oh, you're already subscribed, and you couldn't then get the 7-day plan. And so I used this, a Zapier recipe. What do they call them? Recipes or...
I think it's called a recipe. Yeah, off the top of my head, I think that's what it is.
I don't want to get confused. I know that if this and that, he calls them recipes, or maybe it is recipe as well. But yeah, I used this recipe to say if someone, I had to then add people to two different lists in MailChimp, and then I had to say if they're added to this list, also add them to this list. And so I created like a master list of subscribers, and that wasn't very sustainable because I don't know, for those of you out there listening, MailChimp charges you per subscriber, and so you would have all these duplicate subscribers, and it cost you a lot more money. And then I actually came across this great WordPress plugin called MailChimp for WordPress. And they let you add as many sign-up forms across your site as you like. But the great thing is they actually update the subscriber, and you don't get that error message where they think there are duplicates. And so that was a great plugin that I found out. I don't know if you've ever checked them out, Ryan.
Well, I can't. This is the issue I'm up against at the moment. I can't use plugins because I'm using WordPress.com rather than .org. Those who, you know, .com is a little more limited in terms of what you can and can't do compared to .org, which gives you a lot of freedom. So I might have to move across, I think.
Highly recommend it. Well, purely just so that you can get these kind of extra apps and tools and, creating a more productive website from your point of view. You know, you just spend less time optimizing things and having to manually do things on your site, and you've got all these great plugins that just add extra functionality for you. So it's awesome, yeah. So before we move on, any final apps that you wanted to mention?
I use just two real quick ones. I use an app called Pocket, which I do a lot of reading. I share a lot of articles on my Twitter account, and I do a lot of research for my blog. And there's an app called Pocket which allows you to save links essentially for articles that you want to read later. So I have it on my iPad, and I'll be reading through different online sort of blogs or magazines, and I can just copy, you know, press a button and the link for that article will be saved into my Pocket account, and then I can open up my Pocket and it's got everything in there that I need. So I use that. That's a really great app. And then for social media, I use Buffer, which I believe you use as well. It's a great app for scheduling tweets and updates on LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever you want to. That's really, really good app. And then the last thing I'll say is that there's a system that I use for note taking that is not an app. It's called the Bullet Journal system. And I think, you know, I love technology, and I love all these apps and everything that we're talking about now. I'm really into it, but at the same time, I'm a little bit old school, and so I also have a notepad that I pretty much take with me everywhere. And the Bullet Journal system is a system for keeping taking notes and jotting down checklists and things like that really quickly, and in a way that helps you sort through your notes really easily. And so the website, I can't recommend that enough for anyone who likes to use a notebook. If you go to bulletjournal.com, there's a video which shows you how the system works. It's really, really simple. But it changes your life. If you're writing things down all the time in this book, in that book, and you've got post-it notes, or you can never find something that you wrote down, if you switch to the bullet journal system in the way that you take your notes, it makes life so much easier. And I love it because it's so simple, and it's not an app. It's something that you just have to kind of do, and it's really cool.
Awesome. I have heard of the bullet journal. I haven't given it a try purely because I guess I have been always a bit more technically inclined and using things like Evernote. But I mean, actually, I am writing in, I've got a Moleskine notebook in front of me right now as I'm jotting down some things that I want notes as we're talking. And I do love a good old, like, especially the Moleskines as well, a good old pen and paper. Sometimes they're really nice. And so
it's such a beautiful notebook.
Well, they the Moleskines are great. But no, Bullet Journal, I will definitely check them out. I know there's another one, another popular journal, which is probably a slightly different use. It's the 5-Minute Journal, which I heard from Pat Flynn at the Smart Passive Income podcast. And he, you use the 5-Minute Journal for is you say every morning, 5 minutes, you say three things you are grateful for, three things you'd like to achieve today, and write down like a daily affirmation. And then in the evening, you follow up with three things you're pleased that you completed, or three things that went well, and something like that. So it's just this journaling system that you can use, and they have an app that you can download as well, which I've used and I regularly use. But I know they have this physical journal that you can buy as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I have heard a little bit about that, but I haven't tried that either. I might look that up.
Definitely. Going back, I wanted to talk about. Obviously, you work at home quite a lot. All the time.
All the time.
on Nauru. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
It depends. We say Nauru. Nauru, which I think is right. Okay. I'll have to check in.
so what kind of tips or advice can you give us for someone who works at home? Because you're not in an office, and you can't be with your business partner. So there's no one watching you. You can't quickly go and ask anyone questions. So how does that impact your work? Because, I mean, you have to hold yourself a lot more accountable. So what kind of tips or advice can you give us for anyone listening who is maybe in the same situation, who works at home? How can you help them to be more productive, and what have you found works well for you?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, look, I've got a bunch of things. One of the things I'd say, probably the biggest thing, is to get dressed in the morning. it sounds really simple, but when most people think of working from home, and this is literally what I thought when I before actually doing it full time, I thought sitting around in my pajamas with a laptop on the couch and a cup of tea. And cruising through the day, and it sounded so easy and it sounded beautiful, and it is great working from home. It's really great. But after a little while, I found, I gave that a go for about a month. I mean, I was literally working in my pajamas, and then and after a while, I just found that I wasn't feeling so great about my work, and I don't think my work, the work that I was doing, was as good. If you look good, you feel good, and if you feel good, you do good things, you do good work. So, I had to think about that, and I switched that up. And I mean, it sounds really simple, and have a shower in the morning, shave your face, shave your legs, whatever it is that you need to do to groom and make yourself feel good. It sounds really simple. Most people who are probably listening, going, who wouldn't do that anyway? But you'd be surprised when you're working at home. Those things, they're not so much of a necessity as when you're going into an office every day and you have to look and smell your best and all that kind of stuff. So look your best. And so I don't wear a suit every day or anything like that. I usually wear, a pair of shorts and a polo shirt or a t-shirt or something like that. But I just make sure that what I'm wearing is purposeful. So I've picked that outfit for the day. It's comfortable, but I wouldn't feel uncomfortable welcoming somebody into my home wearing it. And that's kind of the question for me. I put on some clothes and I ask myself, would I be comfortable welcoming my mother-in-law into my home wearing what I'm wearing right now? And if the answer is yes, then I'm good. If the answer is no, I'm a bit too daggy, then I need to get changed. So you'd be surprised how much that impacts the work that you do. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you do great work. So that's probably, probably my number one kind of tip. The other thing that I'd recommend is having your own dedicated workspace in your home. And like I said, so I tried working, on the couch and setting up my works, my work stuff, my laptop and everything like that, and then having to pack it all away several times a day, just was a bit of a pain, as you can imagine. So having, you know, whether it's, you know, a little nook somewhere in the house or your own dedicated office with a desk, wherever it's going to be, just set up that workplace. And it's a really good way to separate work from home life. One of the challenges with working from home is that it's really easy if your work stuff is around and you can see it all the time. It's really easy to be distracted away from your family by work. And you know, there's nothing more important than family. So I mean, you need to be able to shut off from work, and being able to shut the door in an office is much easier than seeing sort of your laptop or your papers or whatever lying around the house in different sort of areas. And you'll definitely be much more productive when you know that sitting in that chair at that desk, that's work time, and that's what you're going to do. And then when you're other places in the house, you can completely forget about work.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's, I suppose, for those of us that work in offices, by the fact that you are arriving and leaving, you're kind of clearly defining the chapters of your day. And when you leave, you're like saying, right, work is done, I am leaving now. And you get home, and then the home chapter starts, or your family chapter starts.
That's right.
Whereas, yeah, for you or for anyone working at home, it's quite different. So, yeah, I guess establishing those kind of boundaries or those end of those chapters is, yeah, really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great, cool. So you've mentioned that you have a dedicated workspace, obviously getting up in the morning, setting yourself up for the day, getting dressed, kind of going through this proper morning routine is quite important for you. And it's actually, you said it's one of the most beneficial things that you have found to have increased your productivity. What else do you do as part of your morning routine to kind of set yourself up for a really productive day?
Yeah, sure. So mornings are actually the toughest time for me. I'm a lifelong night owl. So I find that, you know, in terms of my blog and studying and working on the business, nighttime is when it usually happens for me. And I find myself at my most, you know, sort of creative and productive at night. So I'll be up till sort of 2:30 a.m. At least a few nights a week. And so the mornings are actually really tough for me, but I they're also really, really important. So you know, at the moment, you know, my morning kind of looks like hit the snooze button. I usually get up at about 7:30. I do a few things, get dressed, you know, splash some water on my face, drink a big glass of cold water, sort of help me to wake up. I make breakfast for my wife and I, and we sort of eat breakfast and spend a bit of time together in the quiet while our daughter's still asleep. She heads off to work. I sort of plan out the day and then sort of get into some work until my little one wakes up, and then we make her some breakfast, and we hang out and start doing homeschool and stuff like that. But you know, the morning, even though it's not, I'm not actually really satisfied with that morning routine, I work really hard at improving it all the time. So at the end of the day, I mean, what I'd really like to do is include some things like I'd like to get up a little bit earlier. I'd like to do a bit of reading in the morning, and I'd really like to try some meditation. I tried meditation for the first time a little while ago. I was sort of home by myself. My wife had gone off to work. My little one was asleep. I downloaded the app Headspace, and it's got a really good introduction into meditation and how to do it. And I got about halfway through the first 10-minute session, and my little one woke up, and then I had to stop that. So I want to include those things in my morning. So I'm actually going through a bit of a process at the moment of improving my mornings one step at a time. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, like, my perfect morning would include doing, you know, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour of exercise in the morning, like I said, doing a bit of reading, doing some meditation. So I kind of figure that, you know, the best way to start a new habit is not by focusing on, you know, I'm not gonna try and do Pilates, reading, and meditation all in the same morning. I'm just gonna add a bit of exercise first, and that's what I've been doing lately. So a couple of times a week, I wake up. I do some exercise first, and I only wake up you know, as early as I need to include that in my morning. And I'm going to do that until that's a habit, until that becomes a habit. And then once that is a habit, through that routine, you know, I'll add another element. So I'll get up a little bit earlier so that I can do, you know, something else in my morning that's really important to me, like doing that sort of, doing some reading in the morning, something like that, and during some quiet time. So I think morning routine is really important. I think you just got to make the most of what you have. If you're a morning person, that you're really lucky, and the power of routine, I mean, you know, you just got to make it work for you. Having a routine that helps you ease into work at home and that energizes you and gets you motivated is really, really useful. So that's one of the things I'm working on at the moment, actually.
That's really cool. And I think you're so smart to, as you said, like, do little things step by step rather than trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel all at once and completely transform your morning. You are saying, right, I'm just going to concentrate on getting a little bit of exercise, or I'm just going to try and incorporate 10 minutes of reading into my day. And it reminds me of something really good that Tim Ferriss says. I can't remember if this was on his podcast or in his book. I'm sure he said it a number of times, is about like one of the number one reasons people don't kind of follow through with New Year's resolutions is they set the bar too high. So like take exercise, for example, they're like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week, which is kind of a stretch even for somebody who already goes to the gym. And so when you only go to the gym 2 days a week, you feel like you failed, when in fact 2 days a week is still better than what you've come from. And so just set yourself up for success by setting the bar a bit lower. That's not to say, obviously, we shouldn't be pushing ourselves, but you can set the bar lower and then kind of turn the dial up a little bit. Once you've nailed 1 day a week or 2 days a week, then you can kind of aim for three or four. And so I think it's really good that you're kind of being realistic and not trying to do everything all at once. You're like, okay, I'm just going to do this bit, then this bit, then this bit. So that's really clever.
Yeah, thanks. Look, and it's so easy to give up on trying to build new habits. And I think for me, the key is to build a habit, you need to make it part of a routine first. Routines support habits. A routine is something, it's kind of like a checklist that you go through. A habit is something that you do without even thinking, without having to put any effort into it. And so if you just practice something over and over, if you make it part of your routine to do it over and over and over, it becomes a habit. And you know, just like, you know, you know, really important rule when it comes to productivity, that, you know, there's no such thing as multitasking. You can't do a bunch of things at once. You know, just focus on one thing and you'll be able to do that thing properly. You'll be able to do it quickly. You'll be able to do it well. Same thing with building habits. You know, do one thing at a time, and you know, it's really easy to get down on yourself, like you said, if you're trying to do too many things at once.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Ryan, I think we'll start to wrap things up there. But thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. As I sort of said in the beginning, it sounds like we have some very similar habits and routines, and we're both very excited by productivity. But you've given me some great recommendations as well, and so I definitely want to find out how I can incorporate Slack into my work, maybe at work or within some other team, and like the journal, the bullet journal, I'm definitely going to check that out. So thank you for those recommendations as well.
Yeah, no worries, mate. My pleasure.
Well, in summary, is there anywhere, any shameless plug you'd like to include at the end? Where can people go to learn more about you? Or
yeah, sure, absolutely. So I if you go to Ryan J.R. Wiggins, WIGGINS, RyanJRWiggins.com. That's where you'll find, if you go there, you'll find a little bit about me and sort of what I'm up to in terms of my blog, and you can visit my blog from there as well. That's also where you can sign up for my newsletter, hint hint. And you know, I write about leadership, I write about culture, like as in sort of company culture, and I write about productivity. And probably, you know, sort of offbeat sort of articles sometimes. And then I also write some other pieces for, I've got a few articles featured on lifehack.org and Business Insider. If you sort of Google, you know, those two publications with my name next to it, you know, my articles will come up there as well. But the website's the best place to start. And if you want to connect on Twitter, I'm at Ryan J.R. Wiggins on Twitter as well. So I follow back, so you know, give me a holler.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we'll make sure to get all those links into the show notes. So everyone listening, you can head on over to paulminers.com/7. I think we're on number 7. That'll be the URL where you can listen to this episode and obviously, yeah, get all the show notes and links that we've talked about as well. So, yeah, one final time, thanks again, Ryan, for joining me. It was a great chat, and we'll have to kind of keep in touch and share some more advice and tips soon.
Sounds awesome, Paul. Thanks so much for having me, mate.
Awesome. All right, there you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Ryan Wiggins. Remember, you can head on over to paulminers.com/7 for all of the show notes and to get access to the links of the different tools and things that we talked about. And while you're over there, make sure you sign up to my completely free email course, the 7-Day Productivity Plan, and you'll receive an email a day for 7 days to help you fast-track your productivity. So one more time, thank you very much for tuning into today's episode, and I will see you next time on The Productivity Show. We'll